How's that? Okay. Well, thank you guys so much. You can have a seat. Thank you. I do want to open up in prayer first, and I do want to appreciate everybody for giving me this opportunity, because it's exciting and it's kind of fearful to be able to come out of your comfort zone. So I appreciate the guys that have gone before me. So anyways, well, thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, we come before you. We thank you for this opportunity to stand here and present not just to the congregation here, but also to the people online. I like to welcome them and thank them, and I ask you to praise, bless them, and watch over them, Father. I ask, Lord, that you help me to step out of my comfort zone and to present this properly and to bless, to bring blessing to you and those around, Lord, with ears to hear. I thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today, let me see how I make this thing work. It's on 1 Kings 2, 1 through 2. I mean, 1 through 12. How do you make this work? Oh. Okay, well, I'll just go through. But anyways, you can see it there? All right. I guess I'll have to turn around and read this. Okay, so this is David's charge to Solomon, and I'm going to read this here. Now the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of the... of all the earth, be strong therefore, and prove yourselves a man, and keep his charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn, that the Lord may fulfill his word which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul. He said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. Moreover, you know also what Jacob, the son of Jerubbaal, did to me, and what he did to the two commanders of the armies of Israel, Abner, the son of Ner, Amasa, the son of Jether, whom he killed. And he shed the blood of war in peacetime, and put the blood of war on his belt that was around his waist, and on his sandals that were on his feet. Therefore, according to your wisdom, and do not let his glory, his gray hair, go down to grave in peace, but show kindness to the son of Barzillai, the king, the Gileadite, and let them be among those who eat at your table. For so they came to me when I fled among Absalom your brother. And see, you have with you Shimei, the son of Gera, the Benjamite from Bahurim, who cursed me with a malice curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim. But he came down to meet me at the Jordan. And I swore to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put you to death with a sword. Now therefore, do not hold him guiltless, for you are a wise man, and know what you ought to do to him. But bring his gray hair down to the grave with blood. So David rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. The period that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years he reigned in Haran in Jerusalem. He reigned 33 years. Then Solomon sat at the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. So basically, there's a few people that he had spoken about, and one of them was Jerob. Jerob basically was a man who, and forgive me, I have notes here because I'm not like a lot of people who can actually come in and just memorize stuff, and I wish I was that kind of person, but I'm not. So I'm going to go with my strengths, notes. Okay? So basically, who was Joab? He was an excellent military leader, as both a skilled fighter and a tactful. He was tactful and steadfast. He's believed that he never lost a battle, and he also helped us in establishing Israel, as a powerful kingdom. He was loyal to his king, often counseled David on major decisions. He was one of a few who would stand up to David and tell him, who would call him out when he made bad decisions. Joab was power hungry. He was headstrong. And sometimes this caused him to disobey David, David's orders. And on various occasions, he made selfish decisions. We've all done that. You know, we all do. We think that we're powerful, we're given a little authority, and then we take it too far. He did. Joab was. After his brother Eshel was killed by Abner in battle, Joab wanted revenge. Even after David and Abner had allianced, Joab was commanded to let Abner live, but Joab killed him in cold blood. David had forgiven Amasa for taking sides with Absalom, and Joab pretended to offer peace, but he also killed him viciously. I'm just going over some of the things that basically the downfalls of his power. So when he had the power of under the king's rule, he went too far, you know. And on David's deathbed, he had asked Solomon, you know, to deal with Joab according to his wisdom. And so Solomon basically had him executed viciously. And when I read about how viciously it was just, I don't know if it's good to talk about online, but he was basically shredded to death. There was nothing left of him, you know, when Ben and I got a hold of him. So this is one of the guys that that he had spoke about. So Joab lacked self-control. He held a grudge. He was angry. He was vicious, ruthless, he was headstrong and selfish, he was power hungry, and he was a murderer, and he was heartless. I mean, how many times have you guys ever gone out and somebody's done something bad to you, or done something you just disagree with, and you just want to just do something on your own, you know, take matters into your own hands? This man did, you know. Which is sad is that, you know, every one of us has felt that with our own government and the things that people are doing against us and against basically our will right now. We're being told what we have to do, and we want to stand up to that. But we also got to be careful on how we act. You know, so I look at this man, he's like, he went way too far, you know, with the power that he was given. He was also talking about Shimei, and I'm going to go over that as well. Shimei, a Christian, pelted David, his officials with stones, and blamed David for King Saul's death during the battle with the Philistines. But he didn't realize that Saul had fallen on his own sword because he wanted to escape being caught by the enemies, you know. And I'm talking, I know a lot of people in here understand the stories, but there's a lot of people online who don't know that. I know when I read it, I was like, whoa, these are crazy people. These are just very... people who just, you know, went way too far with their, you know, with the authority and also being protection, you know. Later on, Shimei, basically, he was pardoned by David because he had asked for forgiveness after, you know, Absalom was killed in battle. He basically begged for forgiveness, and behind David's back, and even later when David found out, he was a very corrupt man. He would oppose him. He would go against him. But the only reason why he wasn't killed or dismembered, however, you know, they do back in the day, is because David kept an oath. He made an oath not to kill him. So he kept that. But at the end, when Solomon took control, he had asked him, do away with him, because you know what he's done. But Solomon basically had he had compassion over him, and he says, well, as long as you live on the land, I'll protect you. But if you leave the land, you basically sealed your own fate. 3 years later, he left the land, and he was executed. He kept his word, you know. He also talked about Bezalel, which is this man here. I loved when I read this here. Bezalel was a man with a great reputation for loyalty to God and to his service to the King David, and his kindness to those under his care. Despite being a man of wealth, he used his influence for the benefit of others and lived a simple life. He offers a powerful example of the legacy one person can have through loving God and serving others during difficult times. This man was also offered, he's 80 years old, he was offered an opportunity to go live in the kingdom after he had served King David during the time, and when David was in exile from Absalom. So he was actually offered, you know, to be taken care of for the rest of his days. He refused. He said, take my servant and treat him as if you were, as if you're taking care of me. So when he said, take care of those who loved Bezalel, basically, because of his reputation, those who basically lived with him benefited. So it was quite a wonderful thing to go through. Thank you, guys. So Bezalel was basically loyal, generous, kind. He looked out for others. He was God-fearing. He was a servant, a man of integrity, favored, and those who associated with him were blessed. That's the kind of church we need to be. We need to be a kind of church and people that when we look out for other people, we know that, honestly, when I look after my brothers and sisters, it's genuine. You know, I'm there because I care about you. I'm there because I love you. I'm there because you are somebody that you matter, not just to me, but to God and to other people as well. You have a family, and I want to make sure that when we're around each other, that you prosper and the Lord looks after you in blessing. And when we're away from each other, we should pray for one another as well. You know, and I look at that because each and every one of you guys means so much to me. And I don't think you guys realize how important you are, just not just to our church service, but to the people around you. And when I get to meet you in person and love on you and visit with you, you guys just not just radiate that, but it's wonderful to see that you guys also do it, you know, out in public. You know, this is it's so cool to go on the news and see something, or go online and you see your church members out there talking to people and loving on other people. I mean, it's heartwarming. You know, as a church, what are people going to look at when they see, you know, each one of us? You know, not only behind closed doors or in front of people, we should be the same. So, anyways, I just wanted to say, you know, thank you for this opportunity. I know that I just have a short amount of time. I had more to say, but just thank you so much for allowing me to step out of my comfort zone. This is not where I'm normally used to. I like talking one-on-one with people. But, you know, praise God to you people out there and on the internet. And I just pray that the Lord watches over you and protects you. And I pray that you somehow can meet and we can pray with one another as well. So God bless you all. And thank you.